Okay, we're going to start the sugya today of Einayishim and Adin. The Gemara here was discussing why we needed the Achoisoi, the chorus by Achoisoi. And the Gemara said, first we were using Achoisoi l'chalik, and now the Gemara comes on the bottom of Beis Amud Beis, and the Gemara says as follows. Rav Yitzchok learns says that you need to say chorus by achoisa to tell you that you get chorus and not malchus. That's Rav Yitzchok sheet in Maseches Makos, in the third parak in Maseches Makos. So how does he know the chalak? So the Gemara says minole nafkale me'alisha benidus tomasa leisikrav. L'chalak al kol isha ve'isha. Rabbonanami le tepigle me'alisha benidus tomasa enaganami. Elo chorus da choisoi lemayos. So what do we need the chorus? Niboile lechalak ala choisoi a choisoi vala choisimai. This is if you have. So the Gemara understands this to mean somebody had relations with three different women, right? Yet a choisoi a choisoi vala choisimai. The Gemara says hani lomali. Those are three different shames complete. Hare Shemes Mechulakim, Vare Gufan Mechulakim. Completely separate. Eloimo, Lechalek, Alachoisoi, Shehi Achois Ovi, Shehi Achois Imoi. One woman, and Rashi explains, we're talking about here a guy, a Rosh Bar Rashiya, a guy when he married his mother, lived with his mother rather, can't make it, Nisuin with his mother, and then the offspring from there are both his sibling and his child. And now if he were to go ahead and live with one of them, so the child that would be born from there would be both a sibling to the child in the generation up, and also it's the sister of his father through this invalid relationship. Rav Yitzchok says, "Hai Musa minole, nafkile mi sefer dekro dechsiv ervas achoisa gila." Okay. For abonon achoisa de sefer mayavdile, why does the Torah say achoisa? Says the more that we need for the drasha that we have in the entire Torah. Achoisa shehibas oviv v'shibas imoy loymar shein einish minadin. To tell you that we're not einish minadin. And Rav Yitzchok calls Oinshim Min Adin. So the Gemara seems to be saying here two things. The Gemara seems to be saying, number one, that Achoisei Shibas Ovev Shibas Imoy, it would be a case of Oinshim Min Adin. It would be such an example. And if you hold Ein Oinshim Min Adin, even though the Torah already prohibited a sister from the father's side, who's just your sister from your father, and just a sister from your mother, if she were to be both, we would only know that there's a chorus over there based on the concept of Kal V'Chomer. That seems to be what the Gemara is saying. And since the rule is Ein Oinshim Min Adin, so we would know it. In a very simplistic way, I wouldn't have said that this is Oinshim Min Adin, because Achoisei Shibas Oviv, Achoisei Bas Oviv, doesn't lose her status by the fact that she's also an Achoisei Bas Imoy. Right? It happens to be another thing. She's also an Achoisei Bas Imoy. But she's also an Achoisei Bas Oviv. And L'chora, when we talk about Oinshim and Adin, again, until we come to our sugya, conventional wisdom, Ein Oinshim and Adin means you have two separate isurim. You have A and B. Okay? And they are unrelated to each other completely. It's just that we have reason to say that B is worse than A. Okay? So we have a rule. Ein Oinshim Min Adin. We have a rule that you can't learn an Oinish by B because there's an oinish by A. But where I have A, and then I have another case of A plus B, we don't say ain oinish min hadin. Give him an oinish for A. Well, let's strip this case, okay? Let's say that ain oinish min hadin. So therefore, we have no idea what's the halacha by achoise, which is your sister from your father, and your sister from... Let me tell you what would be an example of ain oinish min hadin by a sister, the way I see it. If you'd have a sister, that's your sister both from your father, and a regular sister, sister from your father, sister from your mother. So ain oinish min hadin would tell us that we cannot learn that you'd be chayiv two. Right? You wouldn't be chayiv two. Here I could tell you a svara. If I'm chayiv on my sister from my mother, right? Even though she's only my sister from my mother, so surely I'm chayiv for the sister of my mother if she's also the sister from my father. Meaning, now you're chayiv karas also for the fact that she's a sister from your mother's side. Now let's flip it. The sister from your father's side. Yes, you're chayiv on the fact that she's your sister from your father's side, also on top of the fact that she's sister from your mother's side. Because surely you're chayiv for her, the fact that she's even closer to you. So therefore now we're going to throw both of them at you. I could say, hey, ain't ain't shimon adin. It's true. You have a kal v'chomer that it should be a double hitter. But no, we don't know. Maybe the Torah only said there's such an issur called a sister. You could become a sister either by being... It's like you took an avela, you took a behemoth, you shot it twice. You made it into a double trefer. Right? Take a behemoth, and you shoot it twice. Okay? So you shoot it in the chest, and you shoot it in the leg, above the knee, where it makes it into a trefer. So, would you say chayiv to lava? No. It's a trefer. These are both different ways to accomplish a trefer. Are you telling me it's kol shekin? No. Then I could hear there would be a svara of ain oinish min hadin, and I could hear a svara over there, and it's full glare. Because these are just different ways to accomplish the same thing that she becomes a trefer. We had that in Makkos. We had in Makkos, the Mishnah said that if you live with a woman who's a grush and a chalutza, chayiv malchus. Right? The Mishnah in third parak in Makkos brings down a grush and a chalutza. So the Rishonim ask, what do you mean? Chalutza is only the Rabbonah. A kohen is allowed to live with a chalutza. A kohen hedyot can live with a chalutza with a raisa. It's only with a rabbonah. Say, well, Tosfos says it said chalutza because of grusha. Okay? It said chalutza because of grusha. Really, the malchus that you're getting is grusha. Okay? So everybody asks, what do you mean? You really are chayiv two malchus. You should be chayiv malchus for a grusha. If you live with a woman who's both a grusha and a chalutza, you should be chayiv malchus for a grusha, the raisa. And you should get Makkos Mardos, Makkos to Rabbonon, for the Chalutz. Right? So, the answer given by the Shagasari and others is, well, there's like a Komle B'Derabba Minei. Once you get Makkos for the Deraisa, you don't get Makkos for the Rabbonon. So the question asked is that there's no Komle B'Derabba Minei by Rabbonon. Meaning, when you have a Rabbonon Deraisa, we don't view it as two things. The Rabbonon and Deraisa are two different worlds. They don't associate in any way. Meaning, let's say, Tadr v'sheni Tadr. The rule is if you have two mitzvahs, one is Tadr, one is not, you do the Tadr first. You do the right. What happens if one of these mitzvahs is the Rabbonon and the other one is the Deraisa? So the Shagas Aryeh himself rules there's no din of Tadr v'sheni Tadr. There's no such rule. Meaning, you can do whatever you want. You could do the Rabbonon mitzvah first. Even if the Rabbonon mitzvah is ain't a Torah. Because the Rabbonon mitzvah, when it's sitting next to a Deraisa, is not related. It's like it's a different mishpocha. It's like you could have a cup of coffee before you do a mitzvah. Even if the mitzvah that you do more frequently than drink a cup of coffee. Because the cup of coffee has nothing to do with the mitzvah. It doesn't relate to it. So the Torah v'sheni Torah is only when on the same track. So the Shagas Aryeh says, if one is the Raisa and one is the Rabbonon, they're unrelated to each other. So you could do the Rabbonon first, even if it's ain't a Torah. That's the Shagas Aryeh's idea. Similarly, there's no din of Komle B'Derabba Minei. So they ask, so if a guy lived with a woman, a Kohen, and this woman is a Gerusha and a Chalutza, there should be two Malkas. Shouldn't be one, should be two. One for Gerusha, Teraisa, and Malkas Mardos Terabon. And I gave a simple answer. I think it's simple. It's very simple. What would be if a Kohen lived with a woman that was married 10 times? Elizabeth Taylor. Okay, it's Nishkanem is a Kedushin, but right? How many Malkas does he get? One. She's a Grusha 10 times. Doesn't matter. Because these are just different Sibis to make her into a Grusha. All she is a Grusha. She could be divorced 1,000 times.
It's a status.
So she has 20 reasons to have that status. But she has a status of a Grusha. So I wanted to say a simple idea. I wanted to say that a Chalutza, you can analyze what did the Rabbanon come. Did they say, okay, there's a new issur called Chalutza L'Kohen? Or did the Rabbanon say, we consider the Chalitza a divorce on a Rabbanon level? We consider her a divorced woman. If that's the pshat and that's the logical way to learn, then if you live with a woman who's a Grusha and a Chalutza, you only get one Malkus. Because you're already getting Malkus for Grusha. It's not a Komlei B'drabim Minei. You're already getting Malkus. The Malkus includes Grusha. So now she has that status. She's received that status from two different places. From a bona fide divorce, from a Deraisa divorce, and she also got the status from a Drabonim place. Okay? But it's still both telling me the same thing. It's telling me she's divorced. That's the bottom line. It's telling me she's divorced. She's a divorced woman. So by a choisoy, I could hear that, I could buy into that. There wouldn't be an additional oinish when the Torah said achoisei basoviv, and the Torah said achoisei basima. And now you'd want to say, well, the kal v'chomer, if they're both together, now you should get two. And it's a kal v'chomer because each sister is solidified, is stronger by the fact that she's also related from the other side. So the achoisei mima gets stronger, right? The achoisei meyomim gets stronger because it's also achoisei meyima. So both sister connections get stronger by the fact that there's another one, right? So there I would hear ain't an instrument in there. No, maybe you only get one malchus. But to tell me there's no malchus, that doesn't make any sense. Why in the world would there be no Malkus? She's a choise. She's a choise in the Yoviv too. She's not. So now she happens to be also a choise in the Imai. So granted, the Kal V'Chomer can't give us anything new. That I understand. Kal V'Chomer cannot give us a new punishment. I understand that. But I'm not asking for a new punishment. I'm asking, is it pre-existing? She's a choise in the Imai. Why can't you get... Throw away the Kavochim. Throw away the fact that she's double Achois. She's a single Achois. Why wouldn't you get Malkus? For some reason, the Gemara sees this as an Eino Inshim and Adin concept. That needs clarity. Why is that? Why is this even fit to Eino Inshim and Adin? And then the Gemara says that if Yitzchak holds Inshim and Adin, which seems to be the Gemara saying this is the only mucker to Eino Inshim and Adin. Seems to be. That's why we brought down here in the Ma'amar Chaimis, if you take a look at the Rambam in Tumas Meis, the Rambam goes ahead to make Kal V'Chomer Kal V'Chomer Hadvorim. And he said, the Rambam qualifies that there's different levels of tumah. There's tumas oil, there's tumas masa, tumas maga. Okay? Masa and maga, the way the Rambam sees it anyway, are stronger tumas than oil. Stronger than oil. Oil is a weaker connection because you don't have any contact with the tumah. You're in the room, the tumah's in the room. Maga obviously is the strongest connection, touching it. And masa, you're carrying it, is also a connection. And oil is just an environment. You're in the environment of the tumah. So the Rambam says it's a kal v'chomer. Kal v'chomer. Rambam. מפי השמועה, וקבל חומר הדבר, נווה לו שהיא מטעם הערב, אין היא מטעם בבואו, מטעם במסה, המס לא כל שכן. אז זה רמב"ם. If you take a look at the Kesef Mishnah, on the side, he quotes a Sifri, ויש לו תמויה, דהו אין אונשים מן הדין, וכך אומרים שם על הפוסק הנוגע במס לכל נפש האדם, בו ולימין על המס, שמטעמי במאגה. המס is מטעמי במאגה. עד שלא יאמר, we will need it, יש לי בדין, I have a קו וחומר. אם מטעמי באויל, לא יטעמי במאגה. If it's metami boil, surely it's metami b'maga. El hamamet kein anashto min adin. Comes the Kesef Mishnah, and he says, ve'efshu loymar, she'misham lomadnu, she'in oinsim min adin, she'zeh binyanav. Unbelievable Kesef Mishnah. He ignores our whole Gemara. Kesef Mishnah goes ahead to say that this may actually be the source of Ein Oinshin Min Hadin. This is the source. The source here is the fact that the Torah had to say that when you touch a dead body, you become Tomei, and then you have to, whatever consequences there are of that Tumah, right? If you went into Beis HaMikdash, Petumah, you'd be Chayv Koros, right? The fact that the Torah had to say it, that alone is a raya that ain't Ein Shem Adin, because if it will be Ein Shem Adin, you will need it. Once you know that if you're in the room of a maze, you're Tomei, Kol Shekein, if you have direct contact with the body. That's the Kesef Mishnah. Now that l'chor is a steer with our sugya. First of all, our Gemara seems to learn it out of a choyfe, right? Our Gemara learns it out of a sister, not out of there, not out of Tumah. That's number one. So how could the Kesef Mishnah say? He says clearly, "Shezeh Makor L'Klal Shein Oinshim Min Hadin." And this question that I'm asking you is already found in the Knesset Hagdol in Yerideya. He asked this question on the Kesef Mishnah. So how could the Kesef Mishnah say we learn it from Meis when in fact we learn it from? Not only that, you may say, "Well, there are two limudim. There are two places where we learn it from." But you see, our Gemara says that according to Rav Yitzchak, that has the achoyse used, according to him, Ein Shem Min Hadin. You do give an Ein Shem Min Hadin. According to Kesef Mishnah, what do you mean? You have a binyanav from this case. So this is a significant issue. Now, another similar sugya we have here is in Bava Kama. The Gemara in Bava Kama, the first Mishnah in Bava Kama, says Yechayev on Shor, Bar, Mivah, Hever. And over there, the Gemara tries to learn them from Kal V'Chomer, from each other. That really, you could learn the different mazikim, Kal V'Chomer. Because certain mazikim have much more like the Mishnah itself brings down. That there are certain characteristics of a mazik that make it more liable. Right? It's Hoylech HaMazik, a hezik that travels, is more of a svara, that it's Yechayev than a bar, which stays stationary. The Gemara gives all kinds of svaras. So over here, Tosfos brings down above a Kama that the Tanakama, the Mishnah says, well, you can't learn this from that. Remember that first Mishnah above a Kama? You can't learn this from that. Tosfos says, what do you mean you can't learn this from that? Ain't Ein Shem Min Hadin. Period. That's Tosfos' kash. So Tosfos says like this, V'yim Toma, he says, what's going on? Harei Ain't Ein Shem Min Hadin? Tosfos' question. Tosfos says, Ulai, first he brings out one answer, Sha'atana Chilik, that this Mishnah argues, and this Mishnah holds, Ein Shem Momen Amin Adin. Holds you could. Meaning, by money, you could be Ein Shem Min Adin. Now, what would be the logic in that? We'll see what the logic in that, why money should be different. Right, one approach is that money, why money is not an Ein Shem is very simple. Because when I owe you money, and I have to pay you, that's not an Ein Shem. That's a consequence. It's not a punishment. I owe you money. And some people look at a loan like it's a punishment. So they don't do it. They don't pay back a loan. Paying back a loan is my money, Gabach. It's not a punishment. You owe money. It's a debt. So that's the pshat and tosfos, why perhaps a monetary punishment is not called a punishment. It's There's no rule of Ein Shem and Adin. But as we go into the logic of Ein Shem and Adin, we'll see if this holds water, this svara. But this, in Bava Kama Tosfos says, this possible svara, there's one svara. And the other svara Tosfos says is that, and he brings proof to this, the Tana says in the Mechilta, Ish ki yiftach oy ki yichra ish bor. By Bava Kama we find the two psukim. One pasuk talks about opening a pit. Right? That means the pit is already pre-existing. There's a hole. You just open the cover. You chayiv for making a bor. And then there's another case where you dig a bor, ki yichra ish bor. So Tosfos brings down the Mechilta that asks, what do you mean? Ima psicha chayiv ala kriya kol shekein. Ela inayin shemen adin. So you see that the Mechilta holds that even by, there are two ways to look at this. The Mechilta holds, even by monetary things, is Ein Shem and Adin. Because the Mechilta says the reason why the Torah had to say both digging a pit and uncovering a pit is because each one on its own, you wouldn't know from the other because you can't use Kal V'Chomer for money. So if the Torah would have said if you uncover a pit, you chayev, you wouldn't know if you dig a pit, you chayev. As I state that this is what the Mechilta says. And therefore, he says, based on that, there's it. So the Marasha comes here in Bava Kama. The Marasha says, I don't understand this. A very similar question to what I'm asking you now by Achoise. What is our question by Achoise? Achoise is not a Kal V'Chomer. She's your sister. The Torah said you can't live with your sister from your father. She is. Not a Kal V'Chomer. Now she's your sister from your mother too. So what? So she's your sister from your mother too. She's your sister. Nothing. She didn't lose her status. So the Marasha here is like this. Marasha says, I don't understand. He says, Im Ludin Yesh Tshuva. He says, I don't get this. Why this is Ein Shem and Adin? The Kamli Shayach Shu Kal V'Chomer, says the Marasha. He says, this is not a Kal V'Chomer. And he uses the logic I'm telling you right now. He says, why? Sharei Akriya, he gam kein psicha. The great Chab, the Marasha, has a great idea. He says, when you dig a hole, you're also opening a hole. You're opening a hole by digging it. You're opening a hole for people to fall into. Now, if there's an existing hole and there's a cover to the manhole and you take up the cover, take the cover off, you're opening a hole. And if you dig a hole, you're also opening a hole. You're just opening up a hole in a more aggressive fashion, in a more active fashion. But you're also opening a hole. So the Marasha is asking the concept that we're asking over here. That the concept of Ein Shem and Adin only logically holds water in a case where you're trying to learn something else. When I learn something else, then, now I'll show you in our sugi itself, Tosfos takes this approach. But for some reason, holds it doesn't connect to this. Tosfos asks, if we have a rule called Ein Shem and Adin, so Tosfos asks, why do you get Malkus when you have several Averis that you do together? You know, you're eating one thing on Yom Kippur and it's all the cases of Yeshayich L'Achil Achas. Right? You can do one act and it has many Averis, you chayef for each one. What do you mean? Ein Shem and Adin? That's Tosfos Kash. And Tosfos says as follows. It's on Gimel Amud Aleph, if you look. There's Tosfos on the bottom. Over here is the Tosfos Yishonim. On the bottom of the page. Okay, you guys got it? It's right on the bottom. Loimar Shein Ein Shem and Adin. Tosfos says, if you go down a bit, the first line, Ach Koshe. The Lekamon, Peregimel, Daf Yud Gimel on the base, Tanan, Yesh Oichel Achila Achas. It says you can eat one thing, and you'll be chayiv many chatos. V'amai. V'amai mechayiv kivin the chomer tfei. He says, maybe you're not chayiv at all. The Mishnah basically says, if you eat an avela and it's Yom Kippur, and it's you're chayiv for each one. So Tosfos is saying, if you're doing a bunch of averas together, you shouldn't be chayiv anything. Which, by the way, Tosfos' question that he's asking would be applicable to all the cases that we're familiar with in Shas, where we say, right? Or Mishum Rishachas Atamachai Loi, Fiat Amachai Vishte Rishis. Really, Tosfos is asking on all those cases. Because all the cases we have in Shas, it's always a question, which punishment do we give you? This more severe one, this one, two, twice is saying, what do you mean? Throw out the punishment. Ain't ein shem adin. The Torah said, if you machal Shabbos, you chayev. Maybe if you machal Shabbos and Yom Kippur, you potter. That's Tosfos' question. It's a great kasha. So Tosfos seems to answer what I'm telling you. The same logic. Tosfos says as follows. He says, "Kiba nechomer tei the key tei medyolof mehelcha malachoyse shekein hut machlovo v'yesh matasan v'shani achoyer the lekoy leisra achoyse v'chomer tei mi based studim." Here you only have your sister. It's more chomer because you have it coming from two sides. From your father and from your mother. Lahochi amrino and ainoin shimin adin. Abul kamon beperigimel. The ego isurim. Chayil tfei. Since there are additional isurim, which are chayil on you, either through koilul or moisif, whatever way. Taisu says, therefore it's different. What Taisu seems to be saying, the logic is precisely what I'm telling, which is, that if you have one Avera, and then you have another Avera, and you have another Avera, and you have another Avera, each one on its own is Chayev for itself. There's no logic to say that since this is worse, because there's another, so it's not included. So Tosfos is accepting our logic. Yet, he's not drawing the lines to Achoyser. He's trying to make a distinction by Achoyser, which is very difficult to understand. Right? Because exactly, precisely what Tosfos is saying is what we're saying, which is that ain, and which is what the Maharshal is saying in Bava Kama, which is that the rule of ain oin shem adin makes sense when you're talking about a new thing. But when you're talking about something which has redundancy, right? There's no svara to say you shouldn't be chayiv for step one. You have step one, and then you have step two and step three. You can analyze if you're chayiv for step two and step three, but step one you have, which is exactly what Tosfos is saying. So then why does Tosfos not accept that logic should hold true by your sister? That's the problem that we have here in the sugya. There isn't really sufficient biur in this to get clarity in this inyan. I wanted to also give you guys an Aruch Chaim, but I just didn't want to overdo it here. There's an Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. The Aruch Chaim is found in Parshas Chukas. And he goes on a drosha that we find over there. It says, Kol HaBoil Oil. The Pasuk says, anybody who comes into the oil of this amace, you become Tomei. So the word Habo means you came, even if you didn't fully go in. So in other words, Bia B'mixis. If you part of your body went into an oil ames, you become tummy. So the Sifri says as follows. Kol ha-boil oil shabomik says. You only came partially in. Then it says, V'chol asher bo oil. Anything which is in the oil. Okay, which is in the oil. He says, Shabok kuloi. Yoim ha-bomik tzosoi v'kol shiken kuloi. Let it say that if you came partially in the oil, you're chayiv. And of course, if you walked all the way in your chayiv, says the Sifri, El Ein Ein Shem Adin. Now we got a new limud for Ein Ein Shem Adin. They're rolling in the limudim of Ein Ein Shem Adin. The Sifri learns it out from the fact that the Torah said that if you go into an oil, you become tummy. That means even if you don't fully penetrate, you chayiv. And then the pasuk says, V'chol asher bo oil. Anything which is in the oil, which is fully in the oil. Says the Sifri, why do you need both psukim? Ein oin shem min adin. What do you mean? That's included. When you walk a little bit in, and then you're fully in, that's included. It's the same thing that we're saying here. It's not a new case. If you're a little bit in the oil, if you're all in the oil, you're also a little in the oil. Right? If you're partially in the oil, you're tomei. And if you're fully in the oil, you're also partially in the oil. It's the same kasha. So here the Chaim HaKadosh, stay right there in Parshas Chukas. On this pasuk, he says, Kishenaskil, he says, if we analyze this, Nira kimash lufaneinu. It would appear that what we're looking at here is Eino Yoin Shimon Adin. This is not Oin Shimon Adin. Ki b'chlal abo kula yesh miktsasa. He says, if you come a little bit in, you go all the way in, you also came partially in. V'arei mechayev al kol chelek v'chelek shaboy. You're chayev for going into the oil on each portion that you went in. Why would you lose your status? I mean, this is a hair raiser. For some reason, the Rechaim seems to chop this question that I'm asking over here in our sugya, and then he dismisses it. He says, "V'ulai sever tana." This tana of the Sifri holds, "Shekol kiyetsa be nikrei ein ein shemen hadin." This is also called ein ein shemen hadin. Very, very strange. Very strange. Now, these are all in the Rishonim. But then we have a Gemara that seems to say my question. We have a Gemara. The Gemara is found in Sanhedrin. The Gemara talks about Bito Imeanu Sosei. Somebody has relations with his daughter who was born out of wedlock, right? The daughter that was born without a marriage. Is he chayev for having relations with his daughter? The Gemara says that there's a kal v'chomer. Because we find in the Torah that a person is chayev on his granddaughter. See, by your daughter itself, it doesn't say daughter. It says bas ishtoi. Right? It doesn't say bitcho. It says basishto. Yeah? But then it gives a separate issue on your granddaughter. That you can't live with your granddaughter. And over there, it's a granddaughter, it's a biological granddaughter. It's not a granddaughter through marriage, it's a biological granddaughter. So the Gemara says that if you chayiv on a granddaughter, kol sheken you chayiv on a daughter. Now, if you ask me, that would be something that I could hear is Oin Shimon Hadin. Okay, it's definitely more plausible than our sugya. Because there at least it's a different relationship. A daughter and a granddaughter is a different relationship. A sister from your father and a sister from your mother, and then when she's both together, that's the same relationship. Exactly, it's redundancy. This is not redundancy. Here, the Rishonim, everybody's happy. What happened to Ein Oin Shimon Hadin? He says like this, Omar Abaye, he says, Yechayev, Kavuchoy Ma'abas Bita Yonish Kerges Al Bita Yelikol Shekin. Yechayev on your granddaughter, who's not through marriage, of course Yechayev on your daughter. I asked the Gemara of the Chiyon Shemin Adin. Now here it's understandable. The Gemara says, no. Giloi Milsa Ba'almahu. Hatamaisa. Here, the one example that we would say is it's a stretch, but at least we can hear it, that it would fit, it would qualify for Ein Oin Shimon Adin. Here, the Gemara says, no, this is not Ein Oin Shimon Adin. This is Gili Milsa. So Rashi comes and he says, why is it Gili Milsa? So Rashi says, it's very simple. Ein Ze Oin Shimon Adin. Listen to this, Rashi. This is not called Oin Shimon Adin. The Habas Bitoi Mikuras Bitoi Yudukasya. No sweat. Because the granddaughter is also from the daughter. It's all one thing. So if the granddaughter is also, the daughter is surely also. Why is this so geschmack now? Now everything is great. This, if anything, this would seem to be less of a Gili Milsa than Achoisai. Achoisai is a perfect example. So there's something here that we're missing some kind of a link here. Where is that Gemara? Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Vav. That's this sugya. Okay. So clearly we see that there are different qualifications to make this din of Ein Oin Shimon Hadin. And clearly they're sensitive. They're sensitive, and not as the way we learn it in elementary school. Ein Oin Shimon Hadin, like it's simple. It's not simple. And for some reason, all the logic that we're saying why this should not be an Anishim and Adin doesn't hold water. And by Bita Yemen El Sasai, there everything is Gishmak. That's an Anishim and Adin. There's no problem because that's not really an Anishim and Adin because it's in the same Mishpacha and there's no problem. It's a Gili Milsa. Which is precisely what I would say about Achoyse Shibas Ovev, Shibas Imoy, would be a perfect Gili Milsa. Okay, so in order to get a better understanding in this, I would say as follows. There is a Tosfos in Yevamos that I put onto the Maror Mekoymis, which I believe that Tosfos was struggling with our question, even though he doesn't spell it out. I believe he was struggling, and Tosfos was trying to portray Achoisai like being something which the Torah excluded. Okay, but that's a simplistic way to learn Tosfos. It doesn't work l'maisa. Tosfos seems to be telling us here that when the Torah said Achoisai Basoviv, it's as though the Torah said Basoviv Eloi Basimoi. And when the Torah said Basimoi, it was like saying Basimoi and Eloi Basoviv. And therefore, that's why we wouldn't think there's colors. Look at Tosfos. Tosfos says, "V'im Taima, Teichin Afka Beinei Masir Min Adin." He brings down Kidomo Lachamon BePerek Beis Gabi Achoyis Chabasavicha Basim Meretzoch Lomchtav Achoyis Cholchayv Alachoyis Basov Basim Lomishen Masir Min Adin. Boim Rigladam. The Hosam Loi Recall of Achoyisay She'Enim Min Aav Minayim. The Basavicha Basim Echa Mashma Min Aav Shalom Minayim Minayim Shalom Min Aav. Could the Mefarish Kor Behegim, Meletus Bayis and Meletus Chutz. Okay? Mitzek Amina, we say in the Targum, the Elidus Min Avuch, Min Itza Uchro, and Min Imuch, Min Guvruch. And that's why he says, therefore he says, the Afagav de Darshin, Meletus Bayis, Bayis, Shem Lavicha, Kayim, Bein Shem Lavicha, it's a, Mikomokam, Eim, Mikriyatim, Nepshutai, then he bashed them, Mikavachem Udiyav. Okay. So Tosfos seemingly wants to tell us that Achoisai is not included. Achoisai Shibasoviv, Shibasimoi is not included in Achoisai. The problem I have is that Mamonavshach. If Achoisai means Loi Basoviv, when it says Achoisai, by Meledes Chutz, meaning from your mother, right? It's not from your father, or from your father, not from your mother. So then I don't understand the whole Gemara here. The Gemara says, we learn out from here that ain't no Shema Adin. That's not true. Over here, the Pasuk itself is saying, father, not mother. Mother, not father. But if it's your sister from both sides, no. In fact, of course, Kal v'chomer won't work. Because without the Torah saying Beferish, it's a miut. You follow what I'm saying? It's a miut. So the simple reading of Tosfos sounds like he's addressing our issue. But if he is, then we don't understand the whole sugya. Because if he's addressing our issue in the sugya, and the answer to this question is that when the Torah said Achoisai, and it said either your father or your sister from your mother, and the way the Targum says your father from a strange woman or your mother from another man, right? So then, of course, if she's your sister from both, you wouldn't be chayav without the Torah saying it. It's a miut.
Why does it have to be a miut? It's not by us, by Achosabas Ovid. Achosabas Ovid means Achosabas Ovid and not Basimo.
What does that mean?
That's the defined term of Achosabas Ovid means someone. Torah is telling you that case. It doesn't. That means
I understand. No. So the Torah told me a sister just from my father, right? Now I have a sister who's also a sister from my mother too.
So that wasn't the case the Torah was telling.
I agree, but does it include it?
No.
Why not?
Because
the Torah was only talking about a sister just from your father. That's what the Torah was talking about. I understand that. Now if you find a sister who's a sister from your father, and she's also your cousin, let's say.
That's not the
one second. Obviously, she's my sister. The Torah is not talking about my cousin either. Right? The Torah is not talking about my cousin either. Everybody agrees. What happens if I live with my sister, who's my sister and my cousin? One second. Is there a hava meaning that you'd be potter on a choser?
No.
Is the Torah talking about a sister who's a cousin? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Do you need to have a kavachimah? Is this a kavachimah?
No.
No, absolutely not. It's the sister. It's the sister that the Torah wasn't talking about your sister who's also your cousin. But the sister who's your cousin is included. There's no reason why not. She's also that. She's what the Torah was talking about. And she's also your cousin. And she's your aunt also, so she's your aunt too. Was the Torah talking about your aunt? No, your aunt could be another one of the arayas. But, and that's what we do whenever we have redundant arayas. Right? Which, by the way, my friends, this is never an issue. Anywhere in the Masechta. If you have a woman, Chomesh Esrei Noshin, you have one of the arayas, right? And she's also, she's an erva from here and she's an erva from there. There's an issue throughout Shas, whether you chayiv one or many, because I'll say nisr chalalisa. Yes, absolutely. But there's never an issue like your potter. Now, if somebody were to ask you, is the Torah, when the Torah says don't marry your daughter, is it talking about your daughter who's your aunt? Of course not. I don't need the Targum to tell me it's your daughter who's not your aunt. Of course not. Who would I think is talking about my aunt? By my sister, I understand that the Targum has to tell me that when the Torah said your sister from your father, it means that she's not necessarily your sister from your mother. Because they're natural sisters, your sister from both. I understand that. Do you get what I'm saying or not?
Yeah, but I think it might be more than that, though. It's not just that the Torah is not, when the Torah says Achos Abbas Ovid, it's not just that the Torah is not talking about Achos Abbas Ovid. The Torah says Achos Abbas Ovid is, the defined term is someone who's not a chosen basimo, but that doesn't mean it's a miut.
So what is it?
It's saying this woman is a woman. The woman that the Torah is telling you about is a woman who is only a chosen basimo. That's who.
And are you? Do you have?
It is not a
do chosen you chosen have an issue? Does the Torah have an issue if she's also something else?
With the answer was, basimo, no.
When David's voice starts cracking, you know what it says.
With the exception of Achosu Bas Imo, the Torah has no problem with someone else.
Why?
Achosu Bas Imo, that's not... That's
so Bas Imo takes away from that Achosu, that you're telling me.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear from him. You don't have to mess up Tosfos. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
Yes.
Yes, so why is that not a mit?
It's only and. It only makes it worse.
Why is that not a mit? I just don't get it. Now, you're thinking something, but I don't get what you're trying to say. It's nishtahin and nishtahel. That's really what you're saying. It's some kind of exclusion that's not really a mute.
Something like that, yeah.
What? Really? Not a chayser. Okay, so then what? So it's not to do with kavuchem. I have no problem with that. See, I'm a soldier. Whatever the Torah tells me, I'm happy with. If the Torah tells me that achoisei, that's also achoisei basav of basimai, is not a sister from other, I accept that. Nasav and Ishma. But then I don't understand why you have to come out to an Ishma and Adin. Then just tell me very simple. When the Torah said sister, it's a sister who does not include from the father's side. When the Torah said from the father, it does not include his new breed. Second androgynous. I'm ready to accept that. I'm ready to accept that your sister from both sides is like an androgynous. It's a very bifnei atzmai. It's a new thing that the Torah had to aser. And I'm okay with that. But then I don't understand why it's in Ein Shem and Adin. You're basically telling me the Torah said there's such a kind of sister, and there's such a kind of sister, and then there's a third kind of sister. I'm okay with that.
That was the Habamin.
I'm okay with that. That was the Habamin.
That's very good.
The Habamin is like that. You hear what Daniel is saying? It's not even a svara. Reb Daniel is saying it's not even that it's not a posik. Reb Daniel is saying there's a svara that there's an androgynous sister. Even Dovid and Akiva are not saying such a thing. That doesn't mean it's bad. I'm just saying it's even more out of the box. You're saying that there's a svara to say that there's a androgynous here. So How do you know that Kamash one is that's not? Maybe the Kamash one is that there is a Yechayiv on her. How'd the Gemara know that? The Gemara is saying that the fact that the Torah had to say this example tells us that there must be a rule, Ein Ein Shemin Adin. For Haraya, the Gemara says, Rav Yitzchak, he has to hold the Taka Ein Shemin Adin. So why can't Rav Yitzchak hold whatever Yahavamin is the Maskan? It's very strange. That all I'm saying is that Taka Toises and Yavamis doesn't beferish say that he's coming to answer this question. He doesn't say that. Really. He doesn't directly say that. I'm just saying it seems that Toises is trying to answer this problem. Seems to be. So I think, in order to get some clarity here, I think what we have to say is like this. We know there's a similar example also in the Behemoth Timaeus. You know, if you have a behemoth that has, the Torah talks about the animals that have one of the two simone, one of the simone tumah, not both simone tumah. So we have here also a limud, where you have an animal that has one of the simone, and not both. Yeah, so here also we see such a concept that the Korban Aaron here brings it down on the Sifri over there. Imonash b'simin echad is like kol shekein she'onas b'shtei simonim. Over there, there's no problem of ein ein shemin hadin. Because there also it's called gilui milsa. So in other words, if the Torah said you can't eat an animal that's lacking one of the simanei tahara, so surely an animal that's lacking both of the simanei tahara, surely you can't eat. And over there we don't say it's a problem of ein ein shemin adin. Not like achoisai. See, by achoisai, we say, well, if she's your sister, for two reasons, ein ein shemin adin. By the behema, the Sifri is saying, no. If the Torah says you can't eat the chazir because it lacks one of the criterias of making it tahor, so surely if you have an animal that lacks both of the criterias that make it tahor, surely you can't. Surely you can't. So I want to explain to you, I think, a pshat like this. The first thing to get clarity here is, what is this Ein Ein Shemin Adin? There are really two different ways to learn Ein Ein Shemin Adin. One way to learn Ein Ein Shemin Adin is that Ein Ein Shemin Adin is not a logic, it's a concept. It's a concept. Concept means that there's the, over here it's a drasha, or it could be halacha Moshe Mesinai, or it could be that the Torah does not give an oinish, just like the Torah doesn't give an oinish on a lav shen b'maisa, right? And the Torah doesn't give an oinish based on a kal v'chomer. That's all. Kal v'chomer cannot work to give an oinish. That's one approach. Okay. Now, if you take that approach, and that is the approach that the Marashah takes in Sanhedrin Daf Samach Dalet, and he gives even a little twist of logic to it, he says that the Gemaras a lot of times in Shas say that if you find a punishment by a weaker Isser, maybe by an Isser more Chomor, maybe the Torah didn't give this punishment. Meaning, punishment is not good enough. Okay? Punishment's not good enough. The Marashah takes that approach. He says, by punishments, you can't use a Kal v'chomer to give a punishment. Why? Because the Torah by punishments specifies. Because otherwise you don't know the punishment. There's no such thing as surely you get this punishment. Maybe you don't. Maybe you get a different punishment. So therefore, there's a rule. By Einshem, it has to say it. Okay. Naturally, if you take the Maharsha's approach, it makes some of the sugyas a little easier. Still not going to help us in our sugya, and I'll explain to you why, but then we have the Smag. The Smag has a different approach. The Smag's approach is completely different. He holds that Ein Einshem and Adin is because every Kal Vachomer has a weakness. Every Kal Vachomer is vulnerable. Its vulnerability is that a Kal Vachomer you could do on your own. Kal Vachomer wasn't something I was given over from Moshe Mitzrayim. Kal Vachomer you do on your own. So when you make a Kal Vachomer, you could be wrong. Meaning, you're saying you have A and B. You're saying B is worse than A. And you're, whatever reasons you're giving, your rationale may be wrong. Maybe there's something you're not thinking of. Maybe B is really weaker than A. You want to say that B is chomer than A, and therefore whatever applies to A surely applies to B. You may be wrong. So the Smag learns, before we give a Jew a punishment, we got to be sure. And therefore, you don't give an Einish based on a Kal Vachomer. That's his approach. According to the Smag, it becomes much more difficult to learn any of these sugyas. Because the Smag's logic would only work in a case where the Kal Vachomer is teaching me something new. But if the Kal Vachomer is talking about something which is inclusive, like the case that we gave, you go into an oil ames, right? If you walk in partially yatame, surely if you walk in fully yatame. That's not a Kal Vachomer from A and B. That's A plus B, which is the Aruch Haim HaKadosh's question. It's A plus B. However, I would suggest that even according to the Maharsha, the logic that he is giving us won't work. Because even according to the Maharsha, the Einish that we're giving you is because you're tummy. It's not on how tummy you are. Person's tummy mace. The Kal Vachomer is that you became tummy. The Einish that you're going to get is the fact that you're tummy and you're doing something. You're going to Beis Hamikdash Betuma. It doesn't make a difference how tummy you are. You're tummy mace. It doesn't make a difference how tummy you are. But all I'm telling you is that there are two different approaches how to learn an ancient Adin. One is that it's a rule, which is the Maharsha's approach. There's a rule. You can't give a punishment based on a Kal Vachomer. That's the rule of the Maharsha. And then we have another approach, which is the Smag, which would make it much more difficult to learn. Maharsha. Even the Maharsha, we need clarity. Even in the Maharsha, we need clarity. The problem that we have with the Maharsha is that the Maharsha, the way he's learning, he also agrees, the Maharsha, that if you did, to the Mishnah later on, that if you did Nevela and Yom Kippur and Kodshim, and you'll be Chayiv for each one. And we don't say, well, maybe it's too severe. Right? Because you did A plus B plus C, we don't say that. So why don't we say the same thing by a sister? Right? So we still have to qualify that. So what I want, the hesba I want to give you is like this. If you learn like the Smag, then all of this is a problem. So come with a completely different approach. All of these things don't work. Anytime you have a Kal Vachomer that's based on undisputable logic, it would have to be, you'd say Ein Shem and Adin. You'd have to say Ein Shem and Adin. However, possible is a percha. It could be a percha. There can't be. By a choisoi, shehi basov v'shi basim, there's no percha. Yeah, but they can't. But then you'd have to analyze each case and say, well, this case there can't be a percha. It's not possible, right? It's not possible for there to be a percha because this is A plus B, which is precisely what Toysus says by us. When you go ahead, Toysus is embracing this logic. That's why if I do five averis together, we don't say Ein Einshem and Adin, even though you did one act that has five averis. Maybe the Torah didn't give a. No, we don't say that. We say each one is riding on its own. Each one is riding on its own. So here's the idea that I want to share with you possibly to answer this question. We'll get back to your svar in the smak, which may be what you're saying in the smak. I think we could say like this. Everybody agrees, and that's muchach from the sugya and Sanhedrin that I involve, that if you have redundancy in Isser, or you did one eating which had in it 10 averus, everybody agrees, we don't say anoin shem nadim. And that's Tosfos in our sugya. Nobody can argue with that. For sure not. Nothing to talk about. That's A. B. Everybody would agree that if the redundancy are just ways to create a status, there's also a, we don't say the rule of energy method. Like the example I gave you by Trefer or Grusha. We won't say, well, if the Torah prohibited a Kohen from marrying a Grusha once, so if he married a Grusha, was divorced 10 times, we ain't an instrument I do. No. Because all those different levels are just ways of creating the same thing. The status of a Grusha. Everybody would agree that we don't say the rule of Ein Ein Shem Adin. The only time Ein Ein Shem Adin would apply is where you have a new Isser, potentially new Isser, and this Isser has the criteria that should make it Chayev based on the rule Kal V'Chomer. And now we say Ein Ein Shem Adin. Comes Rashi and Sanhedrin, and Rashi says like this. The fact that you're not allowed to marry your granddaughter. Why are you not allowed to marry your granddaughter? Because she's an extension of your daughter. You're not allowed to marry Bas Yishtoi. And you're not allowed to marry your granddaughter. Not from your wife. Stam. A woman that out of wedlock that you had a daughter with, and then she, the daughter, had a daughter. You're not allowed to marry her. Now, that granddaughter that you're not allowed to marry, what relationship does that granddaughter have to you? That she's your daughter. She's an extension of your daughter. That's the only link that she has to you, is that she's your daughter. Now, when we talk about your daughter, what link does your daughter have to you? She's your daughter. Right? So, if somebody lives with their granddaughter or their daughter, they are living with a woman that's connected to them through the exact same channel. That's what they're living with. They're living with the kurva of Bas. Okay? Now, the daughter is not the granddaughter plus daughter. No. It's daughter. The granddaughter is not daughter plus she's a granddaughter. It's daughter. So they're both exactly the same Sibis Issa. Over there, there's no rule of Ein Ein Shem Adin. Because it is a duplicate. It's not more, it's not less, it's not different. It is the same connection. It's the same connection. And therefore, if the Torah said you can't live with your granddaughter, the only link of the Issa to live with your granddaughter is that link that she is your daughter.
What's that love about a great-granddaughter?
Huh?
What's that love about a great-granddaughter?
She's not included. She's a shnius. It's too far. Too far from your daughter to be connected to your daughter. But your daughter is connected enough. It's not close enough. It's not, you're not listening. It's not close enough to your daughter. Your granddaughter is close enough to your daughter that represents your daughter.
It's still different. It's still different.
It's not different. It's further. It's more distant. Your granddaughter is close enough to your daughter to represent your daughter. Your daughter's granddaughter is not close enough. It's a shnius. It's not close enough to represent your daughter. It's still the same thing. It's like you can have a relative, psuliatus, right? So you, brothers are psuliatus. That's a rishon berishon, right? With my nephew, it's a rishon b'sheni, right? So it's psuliatus too. Why? Because he's related to me as my brother. His relationship to me is my brother. His son is already Rishon B'Shlishi. Rishon B'Shlishi Midarais is Koshali Edus. Why? Because he's too far down to represent my brother. But my nephew represents my brother. So what's his relationship with me? Why can't he say Eidus with me? Because of the connection, the channel that he has through my brother. And his son already may be too far. Because of Rishon B'Shlishi. Then there's Rishon B'Shlishi through marriage. It's another division. This is the way, exactly the way Arayas work. It's your daughter. Now the only channel that your granddaughter could use to be usher on you is the fact that she is your daughter's daughter. She's connected to you through your daughter. If your daughter is a permissive relationship, then your granddaughter can't be usher on you. Because the only connection your granddaughter has to you is your daughter. So if your daughter's relationship with you is mutter, it's not possible that your granddaughter is usher. That's what the Gemara means, Gilui Milsa.
It's not even a Kavuchayma.
That's what the Gemara means. The Gemara says, L'choy rei nahi shimin adin. The Gemara says, it's not a Kavuchayma because it is Bitoi. It's your granddaughter representing your daughter. That is the Isser. The Isser is, now my daughter came in, she's being represented. You're Makayim Piri of Olivia. Somebody, Roy Elaine, who loses a child, and that child has a child, the son has a son, the daughter has a daughter, so that represents the kiyum of the mitzvah Piri of Olivia. For the same idea, it's the same concept. It's a representative. Right? They're being represented. That's the idea. That's the reason why the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, there is no problem of an ancient man adin over there. Because that is what it is. That's the essence of the what the Aver is. Now we come to Achoisa. Achoisa is like this. Achoisa me'ovev is one shem. When Toises brings down a Yevamos, that Achoisa me'imoi, Achoisa me'ovev is mashma, not Achoisa me'imoi. And I ask you, well then, Achoisa me'imoi is also not your niece. And it's also not your nephew, right? That's what I was asking you, right? So, it's true, but all choices in Yevamos means, and this is what I think has to be made clear, is that there are two ways, once you get this, you get everything. That there are two ways to look at Achoise. One is to look at your relationship with your sister. This is my sister. The parents are ways of associating this person to me, but this is my sister. My relationship to her, the Issa Erva, is the fact that this is my sister. The link between brother and sister is what's us. Okay? Now, how does she become your sister biologically? By a parent of yours having this child, she gets a relationship with you as sister-brother. There's another way to learn. The other way to learn is that the sister is also on you because the sister represents your father. I'm living with a woman that's connected to me through my father. So it's not the sister relationship. Yes, she's your sister. But the issue, just like Bas Bitoy, would be usher because it's representing Bitoy. So it's not that the sibling is the Erva. The Erva is the representation of the parent. What Toisus means over there in Yevamos, when Toisus says it's mashma, Toisus is saying very simple. When the Torah said the relationship that you're not allowed to live with this girl is because she's your father's daughter, it means she's representing my father, not because she's representing my mother. That's one issur. She's representing my father. That's the issur. It's mashma, she's not representing your mother. Right? It's not a miyut. It's not a question of a miyut. It's a question of, this is how the Isser sister here is being created, because she's specifically representing my father, not because she is my sister. Because if it's because she is my sister, then her being the sister for my mother too is just another sister. It's just the same thing. It's layers of the same thing. It's not a new... she's my sibling. She could be my sibling through my father, through my mother, through both. But if we learn it's the father connection, right? So, and that's the Isser of Achvasa, then that means that you're not allowed to live with a woman that represents your father, namely your sister. That's mashma, that relationship is the relationship of a person who represents your father, not your mother. Not meaning that if you have somebody who represents your mother, it's permitted or prohibited. It means it's not a sibling. If it's a sibling, then father and mother become interchangeable. If the erva is because it's a sibling of mine, The father and mother just become reasons, ways that it becomes a sibling of mine, but the Isser is that she's my sister. But if the Isser is because it represents the parent, then the parent becomes an integral part of the shame Isser. You follow? It's not just happens to be it's my father's daughter. Not my father's daughter. It's a way of me having relation with something that represents my father.
Being my mother's daughter will be
and again, being my mother's daughter would not be a problem. Would not be a problem. But it is another. It's not the same thing. It's not she's my sister. If the reason why she's also, if to relate, you have to realize all the alayas are relationships. Yisurim that are based on your relationship with this person, on your kurva, on your relative, your relationship your to this individual. So basically what the Torah is saying is like this. You can't live with your sister. So Balabatish, right? If we didn't have this complicated sugya, Balabatish, we would say, okay, you can't live with your sister from your father, from your mother. She's your sister, meaning she's called your sister, whether she's your sister through your father, she's your sister through your mother, she's your sister. She's your sibling, you can't live with her. That's all. Now, she's my sister from my mother too. It's in no way interferes with the fact that she's sister of my father because it's just the opposite. They enhance each other. The Isser is me and her because we're siblings. So if we're siblings for two reasons, givaldik. So we're siblings for two reasons. It's not a kal v'chomer. It's hainu hach. But if the Isser is because it represents, this person represents a parent. So in a way, this is like having relations with your father, the mashal. Just like a person's not allowed to, just like they can't have Eras Aviv Gila, Eishas Aviv. Why can't you live with Eishas Aviv, who's not your mother? Because it represents your father. So here, you can't live with your sister, not because she's your sister, because she represents your father, just like Eishas Abizaz. So if that's the case, that means the Torah is not talking about having relations with your mother. That would be a completely different shame. That would be a different shame completely. It's a different link. It's a different representative. Otherwise, they don't. Not only they don't contradict each other, they have nothing to do. The fact that she's your sister from your mother too, that's just another reason why she's my sister. It's like we gave the case with a grusha. She's a grusha because she was divorced 10 times. She's a better grusha. Now, once we accept that the Isser of a sister is because it represents the parents, now, if the Torah said you can't live with a woman because of her relationship to your father, and then the Torah said you can't live with a woman that has a because she represents your mother, now if you have a woman who represents both, she's a different woman. She has a different makeup than now in a way, what? No. The Torah had to go out of its way to say that that's also achoisei.
But it's still stronger.
It's not a question of strong or weak. It's a question is, the Torah, when you'd be living with this woman who's representing your father and representing your mother both, in a way, it's a mixed breed. It's not plus. It's a mixed breed. It's a mixed breed. And in a way, you can even, you don't have to go there, but you can even say it's weaker. Because when a woman only represents your father, so that's, it's a wholesome connection to your father. When a woman represents your mother, so she's only representing your mother. When the woman has two kurvas that she's representing, mechtes and teras or such a thing. It could be actually, the double link is weaker. Because it's not her relationship with you. If it's her relationship with you, the links just make her stronger. But if it's her being a representative, it's like ein malach echad oseh shtei shluchos. She's not representing herself, and that's precisely what Tosfos says when he brings down the Targum. Your father, not your mother, not your father. He just means she's not her. She's not also on you, our sister. She's also on you, our representative of your father. That's what she's also. And not the representative of your mother, meaning not that that's not also. That's nothing to do with it. It's now representative of the mother is a new kind of representative. Now, can a woman be also on you who represents both? Please. Well, you could say, kal v'chomer. You know what? Here's a woman that represents both. Kal v'chomer. Kal v'chomer, she could represent the father enough to create an erva. She could represent the mother enough to create erva. Kol shekein, she could simultaneously represent both. Gemara says, ain't she neither? Maybe a woman who's representing both, there's a new shame. This is not the shame sister. It's representative of the father, representative of the mother. Now she's somebody who represents both. Maybe not. Gemara says, no, you need a pasuk for that. But that's the only reason why you need a pasuk for that. Because it's not the iser of achosei as a direct relationship to you, which is the way we would have learned without that tesis. We would learn, you're not allowed to live with your sister because you have a relationship to your sister because she's your sibling. Why is she a sibling? Because you happen to have come from one parent. Because you both came from one parent, you connect to each other. And that's the issue. Kiddush is no. It's not because you come from one parent. It's links. And now there's a mixed link. There's a mixed link. Mixed link is already a whole new parasha. Now, Elamai, you could say, well, a mixed link should surely be also. One link is also, two links should be also. It could be diluted. Ein shem adin. Ein shem adin. That's what Gemara is saying. Ein shem adin. Now, when you come to Oyel Ames, that's why I said, I would even be able to argue that even without Ein shem adin, maybe it gets diluted. That was the question that I was debating. Seems to be the Gemara holds it doesn't get diluted. It's two links, but one doesn't. I was saying you can even say it does dilute. The Gemara seems to hold it doesn't. The bottom line is that every achoisa, even if it's just from your father, she also has different links. She has a link to a lady from somebody else with another brother elsewhere. So every, you know what I mean? There's no, it doesn't water down that link that way. So whatever the sfora is, but all I'm saying is our sibling. There would be no logic to this. Our sibling, we would say, this is just 1 + 1. But once we look at it, not our sibling, then there's mokum to analyze that it should be something new, which is what you were saying before. It only works when we say it's based on the relationship upward, not based on who they are. That's the allegory. Now, when you come to Oyel Ames, I want to tell you a very simple thing. Simply, you learn that the Oyel Ames is a case where, let me just tell you, Simon Behemoth to Mayan Tohara. When you're not allowed to eat a Behemoth that doesn't have a Simon, right? The Simon of a Behemoth Kshera, okay? What Avera are you over? Are you over the Avera that the Behemoth is a Behemoth Tmeya? Or are you over the Avera that the Behemoth lacks the Simon? And the answer is, of course, you're over the Issa of Behemoth Tmeya. The Simon is just a Raya. That this is what it is. The simen is not the siba. The biggest raya is if a cow gives birth to a chazer, you're allowed to eat the chazer. We're going to have that sugyan. We had those of you that learned pechegas had it. You eat simen ator. If you have a cow gives birth to a chazer, you can eat the chazer, right? Even though it has the simonim of a chazer. Because the whole reason with the simonim just tell you whether this is kosher or treif. That's why the Sifri says over there's no concept of Ein Shem Adin. Because there's not different links there. It's a Behemoth Tmeya. So now you have two rayas that it's a Behemoth Tmeya. That doesn't make it more chomer. It's a Behemoth Tmeya. When you eat a Behemoth that doesn't have simonim, you're not over the Avera of eating a Behemoth without simonim. You're over eating a Behemoth which is treif. And the simonim tell you if it's kosher or treif. Now when you come to tumah, I just want to end with this one idea. Tumah is the same thing. Tumah, the way that our Chaim is learning, is that the Torah is talking about two things. The Torah is talking about somebody who walked partially into the oil, and somebody who walked all the way into the oil. And that's why the Chaim HaKadosh says that it doesn't make sense really. And based on how I'm explained to you now, it doesn't make sense. Because over there, once you walk partially in, you become Tomei. And what's the story? You walk more and you become Tomei. Okay, that's not the Pshat. The Pshat is like this. In Hilchos Nida, there's a Shaila in the Poiskim. If, when the woman makes the bracha on the tefillah. Because she's not supposed to make a bracha till she's Matayah herself. On the other hand, once she's Tomei, it's not over Lasiya. You're supposed to make the bracha before you do the mitzvah. So there's a Pshara given by the Shloh. The Shloh says that the woman goes into the mikveh, she goes down once, sticks her head up, makes the bracha, and then goes down again. Right? So the Noida Bidi is a good word for Shikasha. Noida Bidi says, what's the second time going down? It's nothing. She's tough. Well, you're playing a game here. You're going down again. What is it? It's nothing. That's the Noida Bidi is Taina on the on this Shua. And the explanation that I gave over there in the Sugya was like this. They had a story with a ger who was Magai or everything, and then they did the tefillah. And the ger died in the mikveh. And they had a shayla, does the ger ischal? Do they bury him in a cemetery with the Jews? Is he Jewish? If he did mila without tefillah, he's not Jewish. He would, if he died, he'd go to the Catholic cemetery. Yeah? But now he went to down, he just didn't come up. So they had a shayla if he's Torah, if he's a Jew. The Kesef Mishnah has the same shayla in Ovas HaTuma. What is the tara of a mikveh? Is the tara of the mikveh going into the mikveh? Or is the tara of the mikveh coming out of the mikveh? You follow? You put something into the mikveh, then as it emerges, it emerges b'tahara. So the Kesef Mishnah is medayik by the fact that it says all over tohar. It says all over shas. If you come out, you're tohar. He says it's the emerging that creates the tahara. The shalah possibly holds that the complete tahara doesn't happen until the woman leaves the mikveh, and therefore holds that that's still called be'emtza mitzvah. That's why he holds it to mile. When you deal with tumas oil, right? The Torah says, "Kol asher yovo yel oil yitma." That's beer going into the oil. So if you go into the oil, you become tummy. Kol asher bo oil includes something that was pre-existing in the oil. It was there from before. Now, on the it's different because it didn't enter the oil. On the other hand, it's fully in there, so it's more connected to the atmosphere. On the other hand, it didn't come in. That's the Kal Vachomer. If the Torah said that Bia is Metame, even though you didn't go all the way in, that's enough of a connection. Kol Shekein this, which didn't go in at all, but it's more in there, Kol Shekein. There it's Shayach Ein Oyin Shemen Adin. There it's possible. But Ein Oyin Shemen Adin is never possible where there is redundancy, layers, one on top of the other. There's no concept of Ein Oyin Shemen Adin. And our sugi is only talking about where there's a recreation of an Isser through different channels, through different links. And the Isser you're going to be over is by going back up. That's why. That's where the conflict is. You're not going to be over the Isser of living with your sister. You're being over the Isser of pulling it to your father and then pulling it to your mother. That's where the Shai is. It'll be Isser a sister. I said the whole problem in the sugi I had was based on learning that a sister is Usser because she's a sister. But once we take it this way, then it works. Okay.